Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Know it's a busy season for you, so it just adds my appreciation for the fact that you would listen in and participate. Looking forward to jumping into a brand new chapter today. We're 1 Samuel chapter 20, if you follow along. I'd love to know someday how many of you actually follow along in your Bible or your device, and how many are just kind of listening while you're doing something else. I'm in the latter category, by the way. When I listen to a podcast, I'm multitasking, and I would suspect that most of you are as well. But nonetheless, we are in chapter 20, and we're in verse 1. So let me read a couple verses, and we'll just jump right in. The Bible says, "And David fled from Naoth in Ramah." So remember, Saul has sent servants there to capture him. It's not worked because they've all prophesied. Remember, we talked about that, even Saul himself. And you would think that that would be enough to stop Saul. But what we're going to find is that stubbornness is just such a characteristic in Saul's life. And remember, Samuel even said that. Stubbornness, rebellion, that's part of Saul's DNA. So David flees from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity? What is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?" So John, you can almost sense the frustration and the desperateness of David.
Yes, you sure can, Pastor. To David, this is just unbelievable. You know, he thought that Jonathan had gotten it worked out before. We saw that at the beginning of the previous chapter, and it seemed everything was going well, but Saul just changed so suddenly again, and David just is beyond himself. Why is this happening? I've done nothing. I don't know why your dad has something against me. What's going on here, Jonathan? David is really feeling pressed right now.
It's easy when you read the Bible to make it more academic. Like, okay, well, you know, David is being misunderstood. He's being abused, but here's what you ought to do. Step one, step two, step three. But when you're in the middle of a situation like this, where you've done nothing wrong, and people are just irrationally pursuing you and trying to destroy you, and in our context, not so much someone's trying to murder me, but maybe trying to assassinate my character, make me look bad or reject me. I mean, it really does cause us to ask those questions, like, what have I done? Why does he hate me so much? And David, I think, is legitimately saying there must be something, because this is so irrational.
You know, Pastor, what you're talking about right now, people do go through. I've known many people who go through that situation where people are against them for reasons they can understand, you know, and they get really burdened by it. And sometimes I've known people who've reacted against the people and have not liked them, you know, and on social media said some things that were kind of snarky about them or passive aggressive about them. And it's tough in those kind of situations. David is going to show us, and he has shown us, a great example of a person who doesn't respond, you know, he doesn't fight fire with fire. He has every reason, humanly speaking, to not be too happy with Saul, but David responds correctly. And I know a lot of our listeners, maybe even now, maybe going through situations where people are like Saul toward you, and that is a difficult place to be in.
Responding and retaliating are two entirely different things. David is responding, and his response tells us about his heart. It tells us about his frustration. We see the raw humanity of it, but we also see, as you pointed out, that he's not retaliating. Look at verse 2. "And he said unto him, God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." So David is like, I've got the king of the country against me, who has all the resources, who has all the spies. There's no place for me to hide. Jonathan, what am I going to do? What have I done? And Jonathan gives words of great comfort to say, David, shh, don't worry about it. I'm not going to allow anything to happen to you. I am in a position where I have information that others do not have, and I have power that others do not have. I will protect you.
You know, it is so great to see throughout this relationship between Jonathan and David that Jonathan, on a number of occasions, encourages David. He is truly a friend to David. Jonathan has no ill will. You know, I don't know at what point Jonathan realizes David is the next king. I think by now he knows that. But Jonathan doesn't harbor ill will toward David. He is for David. It is so hard for Jonathan to believe at this point, again, that his dad really does want to kill David in his heart. I mean, Jonathan's talked with his dad. His dad seemed to come along and agree, oh, yeah, you're right. David's a good man. But Jonathan is a great friend of David.
He is. And another great picture of Jesus here, that Jesus is our resource when we have no place to turn. Jesus is our resource. He is the one that is able to protect. He is the one that is sympathetic toward our cause. He is the one that assures us in our fears. And again, I don't want to be dogmatic where the Bible is not, but it reminds me of Jesus. Look at verse number 3. And David sware, moreover, and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. So David is reluctant to accept the encouragement of Jonathan. Jonathan said, listen, Dad is not going to do anything without my knowing about it. So David, you can rest assured that I'm going to tip you off. And David says, no, your dad knows that you love me. And so he's not going to tell you. And I feel like at any point, I could just be the object of some ambush or some assassin.
Yeah, David sure is right now. He feels like he's on the point of death, about to die. Now, we know that there is no way David can die because he has been anointed the king. That's got to happen. It kind of reminds me of Abraham, back when God told Abraham in Genesis 12 that he'd be the father of a great nation. Through him, all the nations would be blessed. And when he goes to Egypt, though, he wants Sarah to lie about the relationship. But there was no way that Sarah could have died because she and Abram have to have a child together. But it is difficult sometimes, even when you're in the midst of life and things get hot sometimes, it's difficult to sometimes continue to walk by faith and just solely rely upon the promises of God. David cannot die right now, but in his situation, it sure doesn't feel like that.
Similar story to what you just described is when Jesus spent a busy day in Capernaum teaching his disciples that the kingdom is going to grow incrementally and slowly, like a mustard seed that starts small and becomes big. And guys, I'm going to use you. And yet that very night, a storm arose in the lake, and they thought that they were going to die. Carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus said, O ye of little faith. They should have just trusted the fact, first of all, that Jesus had told them that day through a series of parables, guys, this is going to take time. Number two, he had told them when they got in the boat, we're going to go to the other side. But sometimes in the moment of the storm, it's easy just to say, I'm a goner.
It sure is. And people, the storm gets so big and so overwhelming, it's so easy to lose sight of looking at God and to allow our circumstances to come around us and to weigh us down and to allow them to engulf us and to give up hope sometimes.
For sure. Verse number 4, then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. And David said unto Jonathan, in other words, I think what Jonathan was saying there was, David, you know, I understand your fears. So tell me then, what can I do to alleviate them? You tell me what you want me to do. You know, what I offer to you, obviously, you have some suspicions about my dad. Okay, so what can I do to help you? And I think that's a great friend. A great friend says, hey, blank check, open-ended, you just let me know, and if it's in the power of my hand to do it, I will do it.
I see Jonathan in this verse right here wanting to put David at ease. David, you know, I'm here to help you any way that I can. And you're right. This is a great example of a true friend. And having a friend like this is a great gift in life, a great blessing in life. This is a rare friendship.
It is. If you have a friend like this, listeners, you have a friend. And I forget which famous person said it, but they said, if you have in life two or three real friends like this, you are a blessed person, because this is a rare thing. Verse number 5, and David said unto Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat, but let me go that I may hide myself in the field unto the third day at even. If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asketh leave of me that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he say thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself, for why shouldest thou bring me to thy father? So just a David bearing his soul. What do you make of this scenario that David suggests?
You know, as I see what David is doing here, you know, it is a good test to see how Saul is going to respond. I think David in his heart thinks that Saul is not going to respond well. Saul likes to be in control of all situations. He wants David to be there in David's seat at the table, so to speak. And when he finds out about this, I think David realizes this will gauge the heart of Saul to see where Saul truly is at right now. And so I think this is a great device David gives.
Right. And it would also reveal, is Saul still trying to design to get David? And so maybe the anger revealed would be an anger that I want, that this was my opportunity. I had him right here in my own conference room and I can't get him. So either way, it's an evidence in David's mind about Saul's intentions. But I like what he said at the end to Jonathan. He said, Jonathan, but if I'm the one that's wrong here, if I'm the one that has done an iniquity, if I'm the rebellious servant, then let's just not play the game. Just you kill me right now. Just execute me. I would rather be right than be alive. I want truth is more important to me than even my own life. What a statement.
Yeah, this is a great statement by David. And we realize his heart here. You know, it reminds me of some of the Psalms where David prays to God and say, you know, God, reveal if there be any wicked thing in me. David wanted to have a right heart, and if he had done wrong, he was willing to take the consequences. His great desire was to be right.
And we're going to see that theme throughout this chapter, really throughout most of the life of David, just a passion for holiness, a passion for a right standing with the Lord, and a great example for you and me. And we know that, humanly speaking, a right standing before God is impossible without Jesus. And we're going to see that illustrated throughout as well. So I hope you have a great day today. Appreciate you joining us for the beginning of the chapter. We'll jump right into verse number 10 tomorrow. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.